When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a very special guest today. Anyone that's a Jets fan is very familiar with his face, his voice, his big smile on Jets game days. Ethan Greenberg, Greenberg Jets. Ethan, how are we doing today?
Good. I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We're recording this about 10, 15 minutes or so. Actually, maybe an hour at this point. I just lost track of time. After the Jets made their kind of initial 53-man roster, obviously everyone knows there's going to be some roster manipulation, mm-hmm. and guys going on IR and waivers and all that stuff. That said, I guess big picture, were you surprised at all at any of the guys that either were cut or were kept? Because obviously a couple names on either side, you know, always kind of catch your right eye.
I feel like the biggest surprise, you know, and I feel like nothing's really surprising after six seasons of seeing this, but I feel like the biggest surprise was Jason Pinnock, just because he felt like after transitioning from cornerback to safety, after seeing where he played in terms of who he was playing next to, like he got some run with the starters throughout training camp in the preseason. You thought that, you know, he would see significant playing time in the 2022 regular season, then to be waived. I mean, that was a pretty big surprise to me. But I think that, going back to what Coach Salah said, it's really a credit to Tony Adams, the undrafted free agent out of Illinois. And the Jets like what he has to bring, and he offers interesting versatility. He's got, I remember talking to Dane Brugler once the Jets signed Tony Adams, and Dane Brugler of The Athletic, the draft guru, he was saying that when he watched the tape on Tony Adams, he had legitimate traits. And then, you know, maybe the production wasn't quite what you wanted to see on tape, but he had legitimate traits to be an NFL player. And I think that's probably what the Jets saw. So to me, Jason Pinnock was probably the biggest surprise in terms of players that were let go. You know, in terms of players that were kept, I wouldn't really say there was a surprise there. I think the best story is, outside of the undrafted free agents, meaning Tony Adams and Zonovan Bam Knight, is an undrafted free agent from the 2020 class with the Jets. That's tight end Lawrence Cager, who signed as wide receiver Lawrence Cager. So I think that's just an awesome story, because I think fans really like Lawrence Cager. You know, he was an interesting prospect as a receiver, and Robert Saleh kind of joked about it in his press conference just a couple minutes ago, like 45 minutes ago. He said that he was talking to Cager, and he said, "Hey man, like, you went from a slower wide receiver to a faster tight end." And he's obviously a receiving prowess tight end as opposed to a blocking prowess, but he offers a cool skill set. And I think what you need to do in this offense, you need to not be afraid of contact and not be a liability in the run game. And Robert Saleh gives all the credit in the world to Cager for not being a liability in the run game. And we kind of saw that in the preseason.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Pinnock. I was frankly a little bit surprised that they not only moved off of Pinnock, but they also moved off of Will Park. So I figured kind of one or the two may stick. I think both got one reps during camp, both, you know, showed some things at the end of the year last year. I know both were, you know, Parks is, you know, kind of more of a veteran. I think he's in year seven, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him though, because I think it's an important point to note that if you're playing like roster politics, and if you're GM, Will Parks being in his seventh year versus let's say Jason Pinnock, or let's just use Adams and Ashton Davis as examples, both on the roster. Both of those guys, meaning Ashton Davis and Tony Adams, would be subject to waivers, where Will Parks will not be. So if the Jets wanted to, let's say, re-sign Will Parks to the 53 or the practice squad, it's a bit of an easier process because the control is in the player versus the team. So let's say hypothetically, or let's use Jason Pinnock as the example. Let's say the Jets want to bring him back to the practice squad and he needs to clear waivers. So that choice is not up to him. That choice is up to the 31 other general managers in the NFL. And if he clears waivers, then it's up to him. Where if you flat out cut a guy who's isn't subject to waivers, like Will Parks, like Tevin Coleman's another example, that player can decide where he wants to go. So obviously we're not privy to the conversations that happen behind closed doors, but Will Parks had been having a great camp. I think he was very impressive. Even from the first game late in the year, he steps in, he starts, he had a good game. And I think that the Jets saw that, but also you always have to keep in mind the waiver wire versus just being flat out released. I don't know if it had a role in this scenario, but it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's definitely actually Bam Knight and the Bam Knight discussion. Like, he was going to get, in my opinion, was going to get claimed if he got cut. Tevin Coleman's well liked by the staff. He's a guy that he's a very much a him and Will Parks are probably the number two, the one and two guys of they clear, you know, whatever they get the roster logistics, whoever goes on IR, which, you know, most likely there's not going to be anybody, but guys, the waivers, he's a guy that could come back and you can do some roster gymnastics there. Chris Trevler would have been awesome to be able to keep. You have to always keep in mind that, like, he did it in the game for the Jets last year. And I think from a coaching perspective, as much as Chris Trevler is really exciting, and I would have been great to keep him, he is a more similar style player to Zach than maybe Mike White does. That said, it just, whatever. Again, Mike White did it in a game and as a staff. When you go into it in a week, and God forbid, look, if Mike White's playing, there's probably something else that's gone wrong this year. But that said, you want to be able to be confident in a guy that, you know, they look like a formidable, you know, NFL quarterback. The only other couple guys, I was surprised Jonathan Marshall gets cut in favor of Nathan Shepard, just because, you know, Marshall was drafted by this regime. Shepard obviously was not, you know, and had quite a few penalties last year. And then the only other last one that I'll mention, I'm not sure if you kind of your thoughts on this. I was a bit surprised, to say the least, that they are very thin at tackle right now. I know they were looking at trading Chuma Adoga. There were some conversations apparently with the Cowboys yesterday. Obviously nothing materialized, but they also cut Hermans and I believe McDermott. McDermott as well. So I think they might only have three tackles in the roster right now. So do you expect that maybe they'll either be aggressive there or one of those guys could come back? Because I don't think you're going into the season with three tackles.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And I think it's one, always a position that Joe Douglas is consistently looking to add to. So as we record this, I'm sure the waiver wire priority, not in terms of where the Jets are, but in terms of who the Jets would want to put a claim in, that process is probably happening right now. And, you know, I think that the Jets could definitely be in the market to add one at any position, but specifically tackle, just because Joe Douglas consistently wants to upgrade the offensive line. And from a numbers perspective, that's where the Jets don't have a lot of numbers compared to the interior. Dan Feeney, Nate Herbig, both on the interior, both remain on the roster, the initial 53-man roster. So, yeah, I think it's a good point. I also think that if one of those, well, Chuma Adoga is the only one subject to waiver. So if he clears waivers, maybe he comes back. Connor McDermott, I believe, is past the waiver qualification. So maybe the Jets try to bring him back, or maybe they try to add another player through the waiver wire or through a trade. I mean, I don't think that the Jets are ever satisfied with their offensive line. And, you know, not that this should be a surprise. The Jets could have like five Pro Bowl offensive linemen and they'd still want more. You know, like, that's just how Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are wired. So I definitely think that that tackle could be in the mix in the next coming days, really the next coming weeks, before the Jets line up Sunday, September 11th against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they look at safety. Linebacker, they're obviously a bit thinner. Hamza Nasruddin, another guy, was a converted. Sherwood, obviously, I played him during camp from when I was there. Obviously, you can probably speak better to it. But, yeah, they're always going to look at, you know, safety, linebacker, offensive line. You just, like, look what Joe Douglas has done the last couple of years. He's actually been very active and, quite frankly, very successful with undrafted guys and waiver wire guys, where, definitely, you know, not just the Bryce Huffs of the world and, you know, hopefully the Michael Piron. I mean, not Michael Piron. definitely not with Michael Piron. But, you know, Berrios, no,
but
JFM. Like,
but to your point, yeah. Braxton Berrios, Quincy Williams last year. I mean, waiver fine, and then has a career year over 100 tackles. I mean, that's hard to do. You know, that I don't know how common it is in the NFL, but I feel like it's not that common because you're talking about a guy that was let go from an NFL team, and then to have that kind of success that Quincy has, or in Braxton Berrios for that or for that matter too. I think those are two great examples.
Yeah, even you look at it's crazy. Quincy got cut from the Jaguars, who objectively were worse than the Jets last year, and then comes in as a starter. Obviously, kind of moving along to want to get you kind of your take on Robert Saleh's comments on Zach Wilson. And from my perspective, you know, obviously the Jets easily could have said Zach's not playing week one. They've had multiple opportunities. He's obviously progressing well from what Joe Douglas mentioned Sunday afternoon. Obviously things get caught in translation and Twitter tweets and all these different things. Kind of talk to me just a little bit about kind of what you took away from, I guess, you know, what he mentioned about Zach's potential for week one. Sounds like if he practices next week, he'll play. If he doesn't, he won't, but I guess it's maybe too cut and dry.
Yeah, I feel like Robert Saleh just doesn't want to pigeonhole himself, right? Because this is the same guy, and, you know, he's the, as he describes, the eternal optimist. I mean, the whole, he got burned by the Mekhi Becton situation because he was out there. He's like, oh, I think, you know, I think he's going to be okay. And then obviously he goes on injured reserve, going to miss the year. So I think that he's just not pigeonholing himself. There was a clip of Zach Wilson pedaling on the bike pregame. And the truth of the matter is that I don't think the Jets are going to rush him back. And whenever Zach Wilson feels ready, he'll go out there. And the Jets also want to make sure that he's 100%, because this is the interesting part to me. Throughout training camp, up to the point where Zach Wilson hurt his knee, Zach Wilson had been a little more decisive in tucking it and running as opposed to waiting around in the pocket for something to break down to try to force a ball into a tight window. He'd see space, and if it were, you know, let's say a move the ball situation in training camp, he'd see space, be like, all right, let's move the sticks, take off and run, get 5 or 6 yards, get the first down, move the chain. So to me, if I'm the Jets, I want to make sure that he's comfortable in the knee, that he still wants to do that. And obviously last season, we saw a little bit of that at the end of the year, specifically with the Jaguars game, the long touchdown run, but that's something that is a skill set in Zach Wilson's arsenal. And you want him to be decisive with that because it'll help the offense flow, right? If first, if you have the option to get 6 yards or to dance around in the pocket, get the 6 yards. So, and I think that you just want to feel comfortable that Zach's comfortable in his knee. So with that being said, you know, I think the Jets are just kind of in wait and see mode, right? Like that, as silly as it sounds, like one day he might just be like, you know what? No, I'm good. Like, let's go. Like, I'll try practicing. And one day or the day before that, he might be a little cautious about it. So I'm just trying to think about it from my perspective. Like, if I hurt my knee one day, I'd be like, you know what? Like, no, I think I'm good enough to try to play some pickup hoops. And one day I'm not, you know, like, I know that sounds pretty silly to a degree, but I just think that it's going to be a two-way street. And you know that the Jets like a ramp-up period. Like, they had one with Dwayne Brown. I know he's an older player. When players come back from injury, there always is that little bit of a ramp-up period. But we'll see what that case may be for Zach, if and when that's the case.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, they're not going to rush Zach. Obviously, everyone's jobs are tied to somewhat tied to, you know, how the quarterback does and all that type of stuff. Kind of looking ahead to Baltimore, you know, obviously everyone's talked about camp a million times, and you and EA do a great job every day and all that stuff. But obviously, everyone's excited for the regular season, so kind of want to transition that way. Look, the Ravens on paper, and for that matter, the first four games are difficult from the division, the history, and things of that nature. But there are, like, every game is a winnable game in the NFL. And from my perspective, the Jets have invested a ton of money and they've invested a ton of picks. Like, there should be expectations. They should be able to win every game. What do you feel like the keys against the Ravens are going to be, or kind of what's your expectation level going to the game of, like, where they need to be strongest to try to get a W there?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is just outside not turn Jackson. The ball over. Yeah. Right. Outside of the former MVP. But in all seriousness, like, I think step one is just not turning the ball over. And if you turn the ball over, you have a lesser chance to win any game in the NFL. And so I think that turnovers will play a big factor in it. If the Jets are able to run the football, I think that also plays a big factor in what the Jets want to do, not only because it opens things up for them in terms of play action. It also keeps Lamar Jackson off the field if you're able to establish the run and chew up some clock. So that's kind of where I'm looking right now. I know we're a couple weeks away from that. And when you look at the Ravens on paper, you look at their secondary, totally revamped. Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton, both in the back end. And then also they have two very good corners in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. So if you're able to run the ball, if you're able to establish an identity up front, I think that should just be able to open things up for the pass game and specifically for the Jets receivers, because on paper, the Ravens secondary, I would argue, is the strength of that defense right now. So that's kind of where I go. Turnovers and turnovers and establishing the run. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no, I think we saw it a little bit. I believe I saw this stat on Twitter and then I looked up myself because you never know with Twitter. I believe it's like the Ravens are 1-5 in their last six road games where a team doesn't turn the ball over, and they're .700 winning percentage when a team does. So against any explosive offense, you want to obviously control the clock. We should see a lot more 12 personnel. As you know, you obviously saw a bunch during camp. There's a lot of Conklin and Uzama. Obviously, Ruckert and Cadre worked themselves in there. Flacco, it'll be interesting to see what Joe Flacco, if he does start week one. I know there's the revenge game stuff. I know you guys gotten to talk to him a bit about it. I think he joked about the Steve Smith revenge game back in the day, although Flacco and Steve Smith's personality is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But like, what kind of a game should we expect? Kind of what Flacco pretty much has done since he's been with the Jets. He's obviously performed pretty decently. He's always had like the one turnover, but other than that, throw for 300 yards most of the games.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, and Robert Saleh alluded to this a couple of weeks ago, Joe Flacco's record as a starter with the Jets, he has not won a game, but the stats in those games are, in fact, encouraging. If you even just think to last year against the Dolphins, like Joe Flacco had a good game against the Dolphins, and he had that long touchdown to Elijah Moore, the 62-yard catch and run. And when Joe Flacco took over first-team reps when Zach was hurt in training camp, like he played well, he performed well. And Rich Cimini told me the other day on the radio on game day that Joe Flacco performed a little better than he was anticipating to. And I know what the narrative is around Joe Flacco, like particularly after he left Baltimore, because he bounced around from the Broncos to the Jets to the Eagles back to the Jets. And, you know, he hasn't really had an opportunity, but like he can still throw the ball. And I think that Joe Flacco is a calming presence in the sense that he's going to go out there, no matter if it's the Jets defense in training camp or if he does get the call week one against the Baltimore Ravens, and he'll kind of know what to expect, right? Like he might not have the wheels that Zach has or the mobility that Joe Flacco even once had as a rookie back in the day with the Ravens, but he's going to know what to expect, and he's going to be able to dissect something easily and tell players what to do. And not to say that Zach Wilson can't do that. He just hasn't seen as much football as Joe Flacco. That's the nature of being, you know, early 20s versus later in your 30s. And so that's kind of what I would expect. And I would expect him to play well, because to your point, Will, the Jets are a better team at every level.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
On offense, pretty much every position on the team, but every level. Lakin Tomlinson, Dwayne Brown, the addition, huge addition there. Garrett Wilson on the outside, Breece Hall in the backfield, not to mention the growth from all the rookies last year to year two now. Elijah Vera Tucker, I don't think gets talked about enough. Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, like the Jets might be in a position where they have a lot of very good players. It's just going to be a question of how quickly can they put it together? Specifically, how quickly will they be able to put it together week one?
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned some of the guys there, like Dwayne Brown. I don't think people have really talked about it at all. I mean, he looks pretty decent. He graded out well, mm-hmm. first 22 pass snaps. He's played like three practices. No one really talks about AVT. Great day for the AVT trade. Kellen Mond and Wyatt Davis, both the third round picks the Jets traded for, AVT, both got cut today, 12 months in. That's always a good sign. Usually, unless you do something illegal, usually you do not get cut after 1 year. Mm-hmm. So that's not great. But yeah, I mean, like the talent level is, tremendous. I want to kind of touch on two guys, really quick. You mentioned one of them, Garrett Wilson. From what I've seen of him, I've only been at four or five of the practices, but the explosion, I mean, this is all stuff that we talked about the combine and stuff like that, but yeah. This is, seeing it in person now, obviously it's a little different. The explosion, the acceleration, the speed, the hands, he makes these crazy catches. I don't know about you, but I feel like a lot of these are concentration drops of like trying so hard to do so much right. You kind of like, you overthink it. Like that wasn't really, my game wasn't really speed. Mine was more catching. So I didn't really have that problem. But what have you kind of seen from Wilson, and should anyone be worried about a lot of, some of these drops that have happened? Cause you see the highlight reel catches, one against the Falcons and a couple of practice.
No, I wouldn't be worried, unless it starts happening in the regular season, that I think is more of a storyline. But right now I'd say no. And Garrett Wilson, I'm actually writing this in a story. I literally said like, don't let his frame fool you, because this is the same thing in college at Ohio State. Like he can go up and get the ball with the best of them. Like he's got a freaky athletic build. Like he's wiry. He's got big hands and he can go up and get the ball. And not to mention, like, he can make you look silly once he has the ball in his hands. And that's a big thing. And Robert Saleh talked about a long time in the offseason, home run hitters, guys that can take a ball, a 5 yard slant and go 75 yards or go 50 yards. Garrett Wilson was responsible for 450 plus yard plays this past season at Ohio State. Three of them were catches. One of them was a run. He's dynamic. He's versatile. And by all accounts, it seems like that the transition for him has been pretty seamless. Now, we'll see what happens once the regular season comes, when he's facing the best of the best of the best all the time, because in training camp and the preseason, teams are banged up. Teams are getting guys different looks. Like you never really know. It's not really like a mano-a-mano matchup at all times. Now with the Jets, has he gotten Sauce Gardner and Sauce Gardner gotten him at times? Definitely. I'd say so, but you want to see what he has to offer. And then also the biggest problem, not even a problem, but the biggest hurdle for rookies, I don't think is right now. I think that's later. I think it's like the rookie wall, the quote unquote rookie wall. So, will his production slow down at all? Now for Elijah Moore, that didn't happen. Elijah Moore, actually his production accelerated as the year went on before he got hurt. So that's kind of where I'm looking with Garrett Wilson. And I just want to say this in terms of the receiver room, people often, I think, either forget or don't talk about Corey Davis. Corey Davis was the best Jets receiver in camp, and play after play, he was consistent, whether that was a 50-50 ball, whether that was, third and short, need a first down, slant, stick it on you and use his frame to get the first down. He had a very good training camp, and the arrow is definitely pointing up for Corey Davis, who, again, 2 years ago was 16 yards shy of 1,000 yards. So, I'm most curious about Corey Davis to see what he brings in the regular season, because he looked extremely sharp.
Yeah, you look at Davis. I think he had 400 odd yards and four touchdowns through three or four games last year. He was on pace for 1,010 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Some of the drops early on, but majority of the time, he looked pretty good. So
definitely,
you add him, Elijah Moore in year two, healthy. Garrett Wilson should and, you know, no one's even talking about Braxton Berrios. You saw his, you know, ability pretty clearly in the Giants game. He takes a basically a little bubble screen for 21 yards, right, just shot out of a cannon. Last guy I want to kind of quickly touch on, you mentioned him there, Sauce Gardner. And I don't know about you, but every time you see Sauce during practice, it's Tony Adams is in his ear. He's talking to DJ Reed. He's learning constantly. Obviously, he's talking trash and all these different things, but I think people think he just like walked on the, like, he preps and he works really damn hard, and you can see it. Obviously big expectations, right? He's the fourth overall pick. Oh, Darrell Revis, Cromartie, the whole thing. I almost think he's exceeded expectations for a rookie corner from a small school, day one, walked on an NFL field and was easily one of the three or four best defensive players on the field. You could argue probably higher. Were you surprised at all with how quickly Sauce acclimated the NFL? Or are you like this kind of par for the course for what he did in college?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't want to say surprised, but I do feel like for any rookie, you kind of expect bumps in the road that are more visible.
Some type of bumps.
Right. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there were bumps in the road and there were plays where, you know, he was beat, and there were plays where, let's say, for example, maybe Corey Davis got the best of him, but it did feel like a lot of the time Sauce Gardner wasn't really like tried on. And, you know, if you're watching the play, you're taking it in for, or I was like from the sideline, you don't get the eye in the sky, the all 22, the press box view where you can go back and kind of see what he was doing. So all that to say, like, I was very impressed. Was I surprised? I mean, I feel like there were definitely bumps in the road, but maybe what you and I describe as a bump in the road, you know, the coaches might say something different, right? Like where the coaches might be going over specific technique on a certain route, even though the result was good, right? Like, let's say he forced an incompletion, but back in the meeting room, his position coach, whether it be Tony Oden, Marquand Manuel, be like, you know what, like, you should use this hand here. And like, I would never say that. I would never know to look for that. You know what I mean? So I was very impressed with Sauce. The moment is not too big for him. And what really struck me is just how long he is, right? Like, obviously he's 6'3", 200, but he's so long that if he is ever beat on a play, one, he has the 4.4 speed to catch up. Two, his arm is so long that the ball is even slightly underthrown, he'll have a chance to knock it down. And there was actually one play, Braxton Berrios got around him. I don't remember exactly what the route was, but he got around him. He had a step on him, and Sauce caught up and knocked the ball down. And that's because Sauce got length, he's got speed, he's got all the desirable traits you want in a football player, specifically a corner. So to me, that's just, you know, we'll see what happens when the lights come on. And I know that on paper, maybe the Ravens don't have the best receiving core compared to, you know, maybe let's say week two, Amari Cooper, right? Like the Ravens top receiver right now, would you argue, is Rashad Bateman? So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what happens when he goes up against the best of the best, because also throughout training camp, you get used to tendencies. But when the Jets went up against the Falcons and Giants, it's not like he was getting beat every play either. So it's going to be interesting to see for Sauce, because all the signs right now for all the Jets rookies really pointing up, specifically the three first round picks, all pointing up. And it starts at number four overall with Sauce.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I said Tony Adams. I meant Tony Oden, obviously. That's close enough. No, I know. I guess we'll get last question and we'll get you out of here. And you don't have to, I'm not going to ask you for a record prediction. I'm sure you guys will get to that and do your own, you know, articles and stuff. But is it fair to say, like, we should see substantial improvement in the win column this year for the Jets? Like, I understand it's everything's about Zach and all this stuff, right? But I don't think that people are going to be like, oh, if Zach's awesome or Zach's even pretty good, like, they're not going to win four games. Like, that's just not how the NFL works. Is it fair to expect, like, this team should be competing with the Miamis and New England's for second place? Obviously Buffalo is the class of probably the league right now. But is it fair to say they should compete with Miami and New England? Cause I think it is. If you look at the rosters,
I think that for at least the New Jets, England. I think for the Jets, like, I think that they could compete in any game. I mean, the talent is definitely real on this team, and the influx of talent, the belief in each other, like, a lot of that stuff is real. And obviously a lot of luck, now I don't want to say luck, but a lot of, let's go with luck in the NFL kind of goes with health, right? Like, the Bills have been a very healthy team and they're obviously a very talented team, but for the Jets, I definitely think they can be competitive in basically every game that they want to be. I mean, they're going to have to establish an identity early in the season. And you know the brand of football they want to have. They want to be dominant up front. They want to play sticky coverage. They want to try to turn the ball over on defense. On offense, they want to let the run help open up things for the pass. They want to mirror up the run in the pass. So first down run on the outside looks like a third down play action pass on a boot. So for the Jets, I definitely think the influx of talent is real. I think that they could be competitive. I think also one of the things, and we kind of talked about this, is the rookie class. They have pretty high expectations of themselves from a pretty early point of the year, but it's rare, in my opinion, that you see like rookies just come on and dominate at their position from an early part of the season. So, you know, I do want to like, I'm not trying to pump the brakes, but I just want to say that there is going to be a learning curve for a lot of these young players to learn how to play in the NFL, to learn how to play with each other. So I just want to, I want that to be stated because I think that's going to be a hurdle for the Jets to clear because the Jets do have, the players do have high expectations for each other. Like Garrett Wilson, I can tell you, has high expectations for himself. Same with Sauce Gardner, same with Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, et cetera. And while those guys could be effective early for the team, you know, it's going to, there will be rookie hurdles here and there because that's just the nature of the NFL. So I think that the arrow is pointing up overall. I think that the Jets can compete in pretty much any game that they want to, and we'll see what happens in year two. But I can tell you right now that if you're a Jets fan, there's definitely reason for optimism this year compared to recent years.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously not all gas, no brakes. So sorry, I was not going to talk to you anymore, but no,
hey, I'm a city kid, right? There's too much traffic for no brakes.
Yeah, no, Syracuse, man. I'm a Cortland person, whatever. Yeah. But no, obviously I'm on the same page. You look, at the end of the day, everything's going to come down to two and how these rookies and these second year guys take the leap. If AVT and Elijah Moore take the leaps to being the guys that the Pro Bowl level players this year, the trajectory changes. If Breece Hall comes in and it's Jonathan Taylor year one, like the trajectory changes, or vice versa. If they take 6, 8, 10 weeks to get started with their schedule, it's going to be a much slower burn, but they've actually added veterans. If they can stay healthy, we saw what happened with Carl Lawson when he went down last year. You know, getting DJ Reed, Tomlinson, these guys on the field for 17 is going to be huge. Obviously
And like Jordan Whitehead too, like a lot of these guys have championship pedigree.
He's huge week one. You got to be able to tackle Lamar and not let him miss anybody. Darrell Revis' cousin, no one talks about that, but well, maybe you get to talk about it, but I feel like fans don't enough. Yeah, obviously make sure, you know, anyone that's, you know, following, you know, the Jets obviously, you know, follows your work and the work you guys do, but make sure you're following Ethan on Twitter. You know, obviously make sure you guys are plugged into, you know, the Jets team website, obviously pre-practice, post-practice, all the interviews and stuff like that. But obviously appreciate you coming on, my man.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.